It's good to be back. We've missed quite a few Sundays being together, as most of you know by now. And we are grateful you could be here. We pray for those that are sick with the virus. We thank God that we're able to be here. And it's a different world now. It's unusual. Would it have been interesting if you had been around when Jesus was here to meet him one day? Some people say, well, I wish I'd lived back then. I think it would have been easier. Well, maybe not. What would it be like to meet him? Well, we don't know exactly what he looked like. We know he was Jewish, obviously. He was a rabbi, carpenter, but then rabbi, teacher. We know the only thing I can give you, the only clue I can give you probably is he had a beard, because most Jewish men had beards back then. But I don't know about the long hair. That may or may not have been true. But he probably didn't look like some of the paintings you see. As you had met Jesus, I know one thing, you would have been impressed, not at his look, not at his handsomeness or anything like that, but he was so engaging as a person. If you were a broken person, you could look at him and know he cares. He'll help me. If you were a religious person who had a lot of pride, he probably would bring you down a notch or two. He did that sometimes, didn't he? If you think about Jesus, how did he react, or how did he function in some of the things he did? And how can I get closer to that? We may feel like, well, you know, if I'd been back there, it would just have been so much better. I would have seen him. I could ask him questions. He said to his disciples, it's better for you if I go away. Because if I go away, I'll pray the Father, he'll send another counselor to be with you, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. So even though we didn't walk with Jesus in person, you can still do that. How can you still walk with Jesus in person? Well, that's why he left us his word. You say, oh, that, I got to read the Bible. No, it's a little more than that. You read the Bible, and as I quoted earlier, I think it was Spurgeon, the famous preacher back in the 1800s, said one time to his students, visit many good books, but live in the Bible. Can you actually live in the Bible? Can you live in with your Holy Spirit-given imagination? Can you live in the Bible? We're going to try to do that today. As I go through this story about how Jesus dealt with people who were afraid, is anybody afraid in our world today? Quite a few folks. How did he deal with situations like that? Well, there's a story, and I'll give you in a little bit the passages. You don't have to worry about it right now, but it is this story, you know, is in Scripture. There's one story where Jesus is in Galilee, and this is beginning early on in his ministry. And again, his disciples are there. They're by the Sea of Galilee, which on Capernaum side, which would have been the western side of the Sea of Galilee. A lot of his disciples were from that area. Some of them were actually fishermen. And so he's with his disciples one day, and he says to them, all right, let's go to the other side of the lake. So pack up and let's go. When Jesus said, follow me, he literally meant follow me, because we're going somewhere. So he says, pack up and let's go. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here. But he said, let's go to the other side of the lake. One man heard him say that, and he was a teacher of the law. Scribes, called in the older version sometimes. This scribe said, Lord, I'll go with you anywhere. I'll follow you anywhere. And Jesus said, I don't have a place to lay my head. Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but he said, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. In other words, if you're going to follow me, get ready. It's going to be quite a life. It's going to be quite a transition from what you've been doing to what I'm going to do. That's the case where one man said, but I need to go. One of his own disciples said, wait a minute. Jesus had said, let's go across the lake. And this disciple said, wait a minute, I got to go bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. Sounds harsh, doesn't it? Sounds harsh, doesn't it? The only way I can explain that is he knew that man's heart, that it was probably just an excuse. He didn't want to go to the other side of the lake, maybe. Now, as you pack up the boat, get ready to go, this is not a rowboat. This is about a 30. In fact, there's one, if you look it up online, There's one they actually found in the Sea of Galilee that dates back to the same time as Jesus. It's in a museum in Israel. There's enough of it left. It was submerged for all these years, and they had a great drought over there several years ago, and the water sunk so low that some fishermen noticed some ribs of a boat sticking out, and they found it, and they alerted the authorities. They came, got it. Now it's in a museum. It had to be specially treated so it wouldn't finish rotting, but they brought it in. It's 27 and a half feet long. It's about 7.5 feet wide, so these were not little rowboats. These fishing boats. So they get in this fishing boat. Can you imagine yourself doing that? You're standing around, and you're following Jesus. You're impressed, and you're following him. And you've kind of made a life commitment. You've said, I really want to know more about him. I want to follow him. I want to do what he's doing. I know he must be the answer. I know he must be my answer. So you're hanging around. You're hanging around with these disciples. And you overhear Jesus say to the group, come on, let's go. We're going to the other side of the lake. So you say, well, I'm going to go too. I'm not going to miss this trip. So the boat is ready, and everybody's beginning to put stuff in the boat, I guess, and you're there, and just imagine yourself, what would you take with you? Probably your lunch or, you know, whatever. You don't know how long you're going to be. Maybe an extra suit of cloak, they would call it, the outer garment that was heavier that they could even actually make a little tent to sleep under it. So you get what you need, and you hop in the boat. It's pretty good. It's kind of a low draft boat. It's because it had to work close to shore, so you probably didn't have much trouble getting up in it. And here you go. And you're sort of comforted because Jesus is there, and you have a couple of guys on that boat, a couple of disciples that are actually fishermen, so you're feeling pretty comfortable about this, that they know how to do this. They know, and I've seen the lake before, and I've been across it a couple of times. And so I'm pretty comfortable, and we start a beautiful blue water, and a nice day, and the sun's out, and you know, it's a nice, sometimes something about the water makes you want to relax, right? You get out on a boat to kind of relax, and you're going along, and all of a sudden, a storm comes up, and this storm is radical. It just comes out of nowhere, which I've read does happen on the Sea of Galilee sometimes, because it's surrounded kind of by mountains, and it comes up in a hurry. And you're starting to get a little worried now because this boat is beginning to rock a little bit, and you're seeing the storm move in, and the storm it's raining hard now, and the waves are hitting the side of the boat, and some of you've been in a boat and you know what that's like. Starts rocking and moving, and now it's really getting serious. It's getting so serious that some of these fishermen are starting to panic. They made their living on that Sea of Galilee, which is actually a freshwater lake. Big one. They made their living on there, and they're getting concerned because Jesus is in the back and the stern, and he's asleep on a pillow back there. He was tired, I guess, because he had when the man said, I'll go with you, he said, I don't have a place to lay my head. I think he was thinking about, I'm going to get a nap when I get on that boat. That's the closest thing I can get to a house right now. I'm going to take a nap. So he's taking a nap in the stern, in the back of the boat, and the boat's rocking and moving, and waves are crashing over. And as the waves are crashing over, it looks like it's going to sink. In fact, it starts sinking a little bit. Swamped. So much water coming over that even these hardened fishermen are starting to get worried. And they rush back to Jesus, the back of the boat, and wake him up. And when they wake him up, they say, Master. There are different ways. It's talked about in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which I'll give you the references here in a minute. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell the same story, with some include details that some don't include. So they go to the back of the boat and they start yelling at Jesus. It's pretty loud now in the middle of a storm. And they're yelling at Jesus, Master, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care? I'm in trouble here. We're in trouble here, Lord. Guess what? They didn't have life jackets and they didn't have a Coast Guard. If they go down out there, they're swimming for their lives in the middle of a lake like that, and in the middle of a storm too. So they start yelling at Jesus, I'm imagining. They're saying, Lord, Rabbi, teacher, Master, don't you care if we drown? We're going to drown. The boat is sinking. We're going to drown. Well, when Jesus wakes up and looks at the situation, do you know what he says? He looks at the wind, the storm, and the waves. Can I put it in our terminology? He looks at all that and he says, stop it. Peace. And everything just calms out. It's gone. The storm is gone. Well, you're drenched wet. You're probably drenched and soaking wet. But you really got scared there. You really were heart-pounding thing. I don't swim that well, and I might be in the middle of this lake trying to fight for my life. And the boat goes under. You have nothing to hang on to. When everything calms down, you ever been in a situation like that? You got overwrought about something, only to find out it wasn't that bad, and then you feel kind of embarrassed. I yelled a little too much, or I got mad, or I said something I shouldn't have said. And I guess there was this quietness now, and the storm is gone. And everybody's standing there soaking wet. And they're looking at Jesus, and Jesus is looking at them like, why did you wake me up? You know. I imagine there was kind of a calm on the lake, but there's also a calm in that boat where people started thinking, rethinking this whole situation, and they began to think, who is this? The winds obey this man. The waves obey this man. I wrote down, Jesus said it, and like I said, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all include different details. So if you look at all the details of these three accounts, here's what Jesus said to them when it got quiet. You of little faith, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Think about that one. He looks at me and says, where's your faith? Why are you so afraid? Well, we would think, yeah, he's with them. Why would they be so afraid? He's with them. But boy, I guarantee you, if you were out there in that boat, you'd be afraid too. They were all scared they were going to die. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Did you misplace it somewhere, like you left your purse back home or whatever? Where is your faith? Did you lose your car keys, you know, your faith? What'd you do with your faith? Oh, my faith. What did I do with my faith? It's here somewhere. I thought I had it. I thought I left the house with my faith. I was looking forward to this trip. I was all excited about this trip. Now I'm scared to death. And now I'm dripping wet, and Jesus is mad at me. And he said, where's your faith? Where's your faith? Was your faith in the boat? Did you think the boat would outlast the storm? No. Where's your faith in Peter and a couple of the other guys who knew how to navigate, knew how to sail a boat, knew how to survive on, they had survived on the Sea of Galilee a long time. Where's your faith? He's asking them, where's your faith? What happened to it? A little trouble, sometimes the faith just kind of evaporates, doesn't it? Oh, that's for Sunday morning. I'm scared now. I'm out here in the middle of the week. Bad things are happening. I'm scared. Well, after they did that, I don't know what their answer was. You have little faith. Why did you doubt? They made it to the other side. Well, they got to the other side, and I wonder if we were there, you were there, I was there. You're glad to see land, aren't you? And you get to the other side, and you dry off a little bit in the nice sunshine, and you're ready to see, okay, now we're over here at the other side of the lake. Thank goodness we made it. Thank the Lord we made it. And we're there, the other side of the lake. And as we're there, Jesus said, when he said, let's go to the other side of the lake, he had a reason. You find out what the reason was. They get to the other side of the lake, and they get the boat up on the beach, and here comes trouble. Two guys, roughest looking guys you've ever seen, come at them from out of the hills. Your first thought probably is, are we going to get robbed? Are we going to get killed right here? What's going to happen? And they come at you toward Jesus. He's leading the group, and they come at you. And one writer tells you there are two. The other two writers only focus on the worst one. And the worst one is the baddest guy you've ever seen. He hasn't even got any clothes on. And he's coming screaming. And you can tell he's crazy. He's mad. His hair and beard are matted. He hasn't bathed in a long time. and he's coming at you, but he's talking to Jesus. And he's saying, Jesus, Son of the Most High. Now, you get different phrases in the different three Gospels. But he's talking to Jesus. Why have you come here? Are you here to torment me? Are you here to torture me? Why are you here to torture me? And he's just yelling at Jesus. And Jesus is responding by saying, come out of him, you foul spirit. Come out of him, you evil spirit. He's casting the spirit out. But the man's still yelling at Jesus. And he said, finally, Jesus says, what is your name? And the man says, he's wild-eyed, Legion. We are many. He got so many demons in him. He's like some of these things you see where the cops have to deal with somebody on crack or meth or some kind of PCP. He used to be the worst, I think, for cops getting scared. This guy, you know, you can shoot him. It's a horse tranquilizer. You can shoot him, shoot the guy, and he's still coming at you. Put yourself in that situation. I don't know about you, but I'd be standing back a little bit. Let Jesus handle this one, you know. I don't want to get near that guy. But the guy's yelling at Jesus, and Jesus is yelling at the guy, sort of. And he's saying, come out of him. And then finally he says to the man, what's your name? My name is Legion, for we are many. This is the guy that everybody knows about that lives in that area, that lives in the graveyard. And sometimes up in the hills. And it says you can hear him night and day. Not just nighttime, that's scary enough. But it's all day long and all night long. And he's yelling and he's screaming. And he's cutting himself. By the way, that's a little dangerous, isn't it? If you have a problem with cutting yourself, you might want to get some help. Because that's not good. This man did it because he was demon-possessed. And he's got legions of demons in him. And he's been the town, the area there had tried to control him. And they'd get him and they would lock him up. They'd put chains on him and lock him up, put him away. And he would break the chains. Nobody could control him. He would break the chains and break the shackles. So here's this guy coming at you, and he's naked, and he's filthy, and he's matted, and he's screaming, and his eyes are wild, and he's got some chain hanging off of him that people try to restrain him. And he comes up to Jesus, yelling and screaming. And then Jesus starts to talk to the demons. And the demons are saying, don't cast us out into the abyss. Don't cast us out into the abyss. There's a herd of pigs. Can we go into the pigs? A herd of 2,000 pigs. I don't know how many demons there were, but it's 2,000 pigs. Can we go there? Can we go there? Don't cast us into the abyss. They understand who Jesus is. The Son of God. He's the one who has now all authority. In heaven and on earth, he's about to have that after the crucifixion, and he's the Son of God. And so they're saying, don't throw us into the abyss. I guess they're saying, don't run us out of the territory. This is our territory. If we get in trouble with Satan, we'll really be in trouble. So don't throw us back to him. Can we go into the pigs? And it says, one of the writers says, and Jesus gave them permission. I like that. So I'm standing there watching all this. And that fear that I had in the storm is nothing compared to this fear. This guy could get loose and kill us all. But Jesus starts dealing with it. And they say, the demons are talking to him, and they're saying, don't throw us into the abyss. Send us into the pigs. And Jesus said, you have my permission. Go. They went into the pigs, feeding on a hillside, it says. And all the pigs went crazy and ran down the hillside and dove into the Sea of Galilee, and they drowned 2,000 pigs. Can you imagine that scene? You're standing there watching all this, and you're thinking, Lord, I'm about to wish I hadn't come on this trip. Maybe I should be back at home. And so, but then you see this man that was screaming, and a man demon-possessed, and all of a sudden he's quiet. He's calm. One of the writers says the people from the town came in to see what had happened. And the people, some had been there and seen some of this. And they came and they saw this man seated, clothed. Somebody had given him a garment, I guess. Well, the disciples gave him a coat. He's sitting there clothed and in his right mind. all from a word from Jesus. Now you're watching all that, you're thinking, I'm going to follow this man as far as he leads me. He is the Son of God. I've never seen anything like this. I've never seen anybody heal this fast. I've never seen this crazy person that was about to kill us all. And Jesus just spoke a word. Everything was calm. The man begged Jesus. The demon-possessed man who is now free. Can I go with you? Let me go with you. Jesus said, no, I tell you what I want you to do. Go home to your family. Wonder how long it had been since he had seen family. Go home to your family and tell what great things the Lord has done for you today. One of the writers says, not only did he go to his family, but one writer says he went to the Decapolis with 10 cities on that side of the Sea of Galilee. They called them the Decapolis because there were 10 little cities in that area. He went to all those cities. Can you imagine what an evangelist that guy was? So you've taken a little trip with Jesus, and maybe you've been scared within an inch of your life 2 times, and you're starting to realize, I didn't really have anything to worry about because he was with me. Rather, I was with him. He took care of it all. Can you live in the Bible? See, if you live in the Bible and you say, I'm going to put myself in that story. I'm going to be a fly on the wall. I'm going to be watching this thing. I'm going to be there, a silent partner, watching all this go on. If you read the Bible that way, it's going to come alive for you. And you're going to say, that looks like fun to be there and to see all of that. And besides that, it changes you. Faith comes from what? Hearing the Word of God. The Holy Spirit helps us. The Holy Spirit helps us that these, some of you have experienced that, a lot of you probably have. The Holy Spirit helps us that this Word comes alive sometimes, doesn't it? You're reading something sometimes and you're saying, I never saw that before. Maybe you read it 50 times, but you didn't get it. It's, I never saw that. When you read the Word, especially in these times when people are so afraid, so scared, when you read the Word and you read it that way, you're going to see great things happen. Matthew 8 begins at verse 23. That's one of the places. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Luke 8, verse 22, beginning at verse 22. All those places tell you that same story of the ocean, of the Sea of Galilee, and of the demon-possessed man. Father, we're so grateful today that Jesus is with us, that we are with him, that you have placed your Spirit within us. We can face these things. We know, Father, there'll be some times when we're nervous, worried, scared even, but you'll help us with that. We'll cast all our cares on you. You got all these disciples through all these terrible, frightening things, and we know you'll carry us through whatever happens. We thank you for doing that, Father. We thank you in his name because of who he is and because of the fact that he is in us. We trust in you. We thank you for all the protection you give us through the blood of Jesus in Christ's name.